Philippians chapter 3. It was interesting, just on the screen I saw the word follow, and I looked up the word follow this week, and it means, when it talks about following me or following Jesus, it means to hotly pursue. So whenever you think of that, you could think of the Dukes of Hazzard. I'm in hot pursuit. So I just chuckled when I saw that, what that meant, and it was just kind of interesting. Of Coltrane or Coltree. Now you're dismissed. We've had enough today. I opened the door. I didn't know Kirk would get so blessed. Angie touched on something a little bit on Wednesday night, and Stan will be teaching this Wednesday, and then it'll be Scott teaching the following Wednesday. About we haven't arrived, or we don't know everything we're going to know, or haven't reached every spiritual level we're going to reach. And the Bible in several places talk about going to a new spiritual level. And sometimes the frustration comes in our lives as we live for Christ is because we're not growing. We're not going to the next level. And the Bible says we've been raised up from glory to glory to glory. And I was reading something a few days ago, and it just talked about the fact that He's not going to take us to the next level of glory until we make the place where we are now glorious. Because God doesn't take us from mess to mess. He takes us from glory to glory. Whatever situation you're in right now, just declare it as glorious for God and live it out and walk it through and allow God to make that place glorious. But He's going to make it glorious through you, because you're the one He's making glorious from glory to glory to glory. Well, anyway, that's for another day. Verse 12 of chapter 3, and Paul is declaring something, and as I read this, I scratch my head, because who do you know, or who have you met, or who have you walked with, or who have you lived with that is any more spiritual than Paul? You know, who could be deeper spiritually than Paul? But you know something? And we're going to talk about it in just a minute. We don't compare ourselves to Paul. You don't compare yourself to anyone. And I'm going to show you a verse about that, because too often we come to a place where we start looking at others and we're saying, if only I could be like them, if only I could be like this one, if only, you know, that's not a good example. If you want to compare yourself to someone, compare yourself to Jesus. Then we always see room for improvement. Because sometimes we look at people and say, I'm sure glad I'm not like them. I know you've never done that. And then sometimes we say, I wish I was like them. And we've never done that either. So I'm talking to myself. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 says, not that I've already attained or obtained or am already perfected or reached that place of maturity, but I press on. Now that word means I'm straining for the finish line. Do you ever watch a racer? When they get to that last 100 yards or 50 yards or 20 yards, they're not slowing down. At least if they are, they should get kicked in the... But they should be speeding up. They should be giving it full throttle. As we get closer to the coming of Christ, we should be moving faster. We should be running harder. We should be straining for that finish line. That I may lay hold of that which Jesus Christ has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. How many things did Paul do? One. You know, he doesn't say, I dabble in 100 things. He says, I do one thing. One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I want you to understand there's more than what you have. That's simply what Paul's saying. Paul's saying there's more to my life than where I am. There's more to my life than what I've obtained. There's more to my life. I haven't arrived. How do I know when I've arrived? You'll see a throne. Okay? If you're not seeing the throne in person, you haven't arrived. If you're not looking face to face in the eyeballs of God, we haven't arrived. We're still moving on. Turn with me, and I'm going to give you this verse just so, because I said I would, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. You will meet people who think they have it all together. You will meet people who don't think they have to pray, they don't have to read the Bible, they don't have to do this, they don't have to assemble together. They're out there on an island. And the rest of us who realize we don't have it all together need crutches. But the thing about it is, God has designed your life. God has planned your life, designed it, so that you're stepping forward, you're moving ahead, you're growing every day as you were in the Word and as we're in prayer. We're becoming more like Jesus. We're being conformed to the image of Christ according to Romans 8:29. And we're walking this life out together. The most dangerous place for a believer to be is thinking, I got it going. I got everything good. I feel good. Everything going. How many realize that there are times that we as believers get the rug pulled out? Not the foundation, just the rug. So that we stop for a moment and take a look and realize without that developing, ongoing relationship with Jesus Christ, I got some issues. And it's not very long before the molehill becomes a mountain. And we're looking back and realizing, boy, how did I go wrong? And Paul realized that. Paul understood that. Paul knew that without a daily relationship with Christ and a daily dying to self, that self is still powerful. And so he cries out in verse 12, not that I've already obtained this. What did he want to obtain? Verse 10 says that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. Paul's main concern in his life was a developing relationship with Christ that always kept the focus on God. How many have ever kind of lost focus? How many of us start focusing on me, or we start focusing too much on family, or we, and somebody says, well, that, you know, how can you ever focus too much on family? You focus too much on family when family becomes your God. When your life is engulfed in pleasing family instead of walking the life out with God and demonstrating to your family the love of Christ. I love the way you're shouting. Thank you, Loretta. The rest of you are still going to think about that and have a reason to chew up pastor over dinner. I hope you have a good dinner, though. And so we go through that. Paul says, I want to know him. And as I read that years ago, for the, you know, just looking at that and said, Paul, how in the world can you say that? You met him on the road to Damascus. You had an intimate relationship with him. You met a man by the name of Ananias who prayed for you. You've written 2/3 of the New Testament. How can you say that as you're in prison and down the road you're going to be dead? Because he knew there was more. And that's the issue. He says, I want to lay hold of that which Christ has laid hold for me. I want everything about God in my life. And I want to know everything that I can learn about Jesus. Now, here's the deal. How many people do you know about God? But how many people do you really know that know God? I want you to think about that. There's a lot of people that talk about God. They've read the Bible. They know about Him. But how many people really have that relationship with Him? The Bible says He's given us everything that pertained to life and godliness in 2 Peter 1 through the knowledge of Him. He made us partakers of His divine nature through the knowledge of Him, through relationship of Him. That's why people walking into places called churches today and not learning about God and not getting to know Him, it's a waste of time. You say, oh, pastor. It is. That's why here it's absolutely a prerequisite that people who come through those doors get the opportunity to have a relationship with Jesus. Not a relationship with pastor or a relationship with the church, a relationship with Christ. And Paul wants to have everything that God has to give. How about you? In our lives, do we come to a place where we just meet that place of just, I'm satisfied. I'm okay. I'm not doing anything bad. Aren't you? If I'm not growing, there's some issue in my life. If I'm not maturing, there's some issue in my life. If I'm not loving God more, there's an issue in my life. If I'm not walking out this life in faith, there's an issue in pastor's life. I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to me, so don't get mad at me now. I got a right to tell me anything I want. I'm just letting you listen. And if the shoe fits, you could have mine. And so we take that step and we walk it out. But you know something? Paul was determined that nothing, say nothing with me, was going to hinder his spiritual development. I don't care what people say. I don't care what the Pharisees think. I don't care if I'm being stoned. I don't care if I'm being beaten. I'm going to lay hold of that which God has for me, and I'm going to hotly pursue God. Have you ever sat down and made up your mind to do that? Have you ever sat down and said, enough of this? I'm not going to live on this spiritual roller coaster. Man, today I feel good, so God is great. Today I feel bad, God must be mad at me. Listen to me. God has no emotional problems. God is not living that way. God loves you. No matter what no matter what thoughts are going through your head. God cares about you. God invites you to come and sit in His lap and enjoy His fellowship spiritually and to grow and to mature and walk this life out. But you have to make a choice. Who am I going to try to please? I was talking to somebody the other day and I just used an old adage that I don't know where I got it from, but they said, man, I can't please these people. And I said, you know something? Maybe you're not supposed to. Because pleasing God is easier than pleasing people. Amen, Kirk? Come on, shout it out. Amen. And so we walk it out. In verse 13, Paul says, "Brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended or arrived," or whatever you want to put there. "But one thing I do, one thing I do. I'm not what I used to be, and I'm not what I'm going to be. One thing I do." Now here's an issue. "Forgetting those things which are behind." I'll forgive you, but I sure ain't ever going to try to forget. "I'll remember what you did until I go to my grave." I know none of you are like that. "Forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forward to those things which are ahead, I press, I strain. I'm looking at the finish line," because that word mark, "I press on to the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus." That mark is the finish line. I'm pressing on. I'm going to reach it. Let's look at this for a moment. I was in jail on Wednesday afternoon. We didn't have a big crowd. It maybe had five or six guys there that came to the meeting. And Pastor Paul finished talking, and he said, "Okay, I'm done. Take over." And I said this to him. I said, "How can you ever get over your past life when you keep repeating it?" One guy there was out of prison for 2 days, and now he's in jail going back to prison. And they're very honest. I mean, I like to be there, because they're not covering anything up, basically. They're just saying, "Here I am. Are you going to preach to me, and are you going to love me, or are you going to do whatever?" So maybe your past don't keep repeating itself, but maybe, just maybe, your past is still in your mind. Maybe you keep rehearsing it. And if your past has been a curse, you're rehearsing the curse. Paul says, "I'm going to walk this life out. Yesterday's victories was for yesterday. Yesterday's problems were for yesterday. Yesterday's life was for yesterday." Can we live that way? Can we come to a place where the past is not going to influence my future? Well, what happened 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago, or 10, 20, 30 days ago, is not going to influence where I'm going now? Because Satan will use your past to keep you from reaching your destiny. Satan will use your failures and your victories to keep you from reaching the promised land. You say, "What do you mean? I've already heard it. I've already heard it. I'm joining." "I've already heard it. Well, these Packers aren't the same as Vince Lombardi's Packers." Of course they're not. Vince Lombardi's dead. People always want to go back and say, "Well, this group or that group is not the same as this other group." Well, of course not. Do you know something? The people in the present day, quote unquote, move of God will persecute the ones, or the people that were in the past move of God will persecute the ones in the present move of God. "Well, it wasn't like grandma had." Of course not. We got flush toilets now. I was at grandma's house, and I'm not putting her down. But it's different time, it's different people. God moves in different ways. God doesn't change, but he changed his methodology. And whatever move of God there is, we should be jumping in it. Forgetting. Forgetting the victories. Use them when you need them to remember that, hey, God got me through this, but don't live back there. You can't live there. We move on. We grow up. We step it out. And Paul says, I reach forward to those things which are ahead. Do you ever just take a gun and shoot in the air just to be shooting in the air? Thanks, Jeff. I thought every sportsman would have a target. You know that round thing with a black center and lines around it? If I'm shooting in the air, I can hit whatever I'm shooting at. Which I can't do if I put a target there. But it also means I'm not measuring my accuracy. How many of you have a goal for your Christian walk? How many of you are reaching forward, moving ahead, stepping it out, walking it out? Or are we just floating? How many of us look at our life and say, man, God, whatever it takes, I want to be more like you. I want to have a better godly attitude. I want to know you in a deeper way. And then not only do you have that goal, but you take the time to get in the Word. You take the time to pray. You take the time to talk to God. And you walk it out. Can I tell you something? It's a wonderful life. Not just a movie. It's a wonderful life. It's amazing. I was praying this morning, and we made contact with some people we haven't really been in contact with for several years. And all of a sudden came to my mind the name of a pastor. And the Lord said, pray for him. And I know what he's done. I know what he did to us, did to me. Pray for him. And in a moment, as I started to pray for this pastor, it was just like an overwhelming relief just flooded my being. And there's no more issues. Not that you haven't forgiven, like I said before. Not that we haven't put things in order. It's just the fact that they were there. They were still there. And this weekend we started talking and being on Facebook with somebody, and I heard the whole story, it just stirred in me some emotions I shouldn't have. Moving forward. The other morning, you'll understand, Pastor. The other morning, Judy put garbage out in the step. So I put it in the car. Couldn't go to the dumpster. Next morning, I look in my car and there's a bag of garbage. That's enough. And it's a little bit with like what we go through. We get some garbage there. We don't deal with it. The next morning, there's still garbage there. And the next morning, and the next morning, and the next morning. Well, what did I do with that garbage? I finally realized it was there. I mean, the car didn't smell beautiful, but you throw it in the garbage can. We get rid of it, and we move forward. We reach out for the prize of the high, for the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Don't allow Satan to put any garbage in your life. Don't allow the devil to bring that one thing to many things. Paul says, one thing I do, I'm pressing on. Listen, friends. Because someone hurt you, you don't have to hurt them. Because someone said something nasty about you, you don't have to say something nasty about them. Forgiving and letting it go doesn't condone the action. It just gets you clean so the Holy Spirit can work in your life. And as you take that step forward, it's like having a bungee cord on you. Every step you take, the bungee cord's trying to pull you back. That unforgiveness, that pain, that bitterness, that hurt, that getting even, tries to get you back and keep you from moving on into Christ. I want you to understand something. God doesn't want you to forgive on their account, basically. He wants you to forgive on your account. He wants you to move forward because you need to move forward. And you need to let things go. And I do. Paul says, I count not myself to apprehend. Very interesting, Mark. That's a bookkeeping term. When you add up all the expenses and all the profits and come to a place where you're finding out really where the company is. Anybody ever do that? That's a bookkeeping term. Paul said, I'm counting, I'm adding up everything in my life, and I'm going to find out where I am so that I make sure I'm moving forward. Then I'm pressing higher to the upward call, and I'm done in a moment, 2 moments. The upward call, do you realize everything about God is up? He picked you up out of the miry clay. He's lifting you up spiritually and made you sit together in heavenly places. I've never been there, but I hear heaven is up. Now tomorrow Kirk will say it's down. I'm going to prove it to you. We okay with that one?
We're good.
We're good. Okay. Sometime you need to come in around the coffee table and learn all these wonderful things that I learn after I preach.
You'll be changed in a moment.
And so we go up. Paul said, the call from God is upward. It's an upward call. It's to lift you up. We used to sing a song, Lord, lift me up and help me stand on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have run. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Old R.W. Shambach would sing that hummer in his crusades. Lift me up. If you find yourself going down, you're going in the wrong direction. If you find yourself getting down, you're going the wrong direction. It's up. Everything is up in Christ Jesus. Everything is up. So now you got a little choice. I had more. I came to church early and I spent time in prayer, and a little after 7, somebody walked in. At 7:45, the phone rang for a half hour conversation or more. So you're very fortunate. I didn't get to finish all 4 points in the poem and the whole works. But we're going up. We're going up. It's in Christ. And no matter what's happened in the past, don't let it hinder your future. No matter what happened yesterday, that was yesterday. Today's today. We step it out. We walk it out. We live it. We love it. I wrote back to a young man, well, I don't know how old he is this week, on Facebook, and just said, hey, no matter what's happened, God's not done yet. I keep telling a young man in prison, I said, wait till God speaks before you panic. You've heard everybody else speaking. Wait till God speaks. There are times in your situation God hasn't spoken yet. And so we've deduced that everything is falling apart, or things are bad, or things are crumbling, or my physical body is wearing out. Let God speak. Lord, don't you care we're going to drown? Peace be still. Hello, come on. You may sing like the waves, may seem like the waves are rocking the boat. Just wait, God's going to speak. Be patient till God speaks. How does the devil get you to do stuff, or how do he keep you from not doing stuff? He brings fear. Whenever the fear comes, God says, peace be still. I'm speaking. Amen? Come on. There are times in your life you don't do anything and you don't make any decisions and you don't walk out anywhere. You wait till God speaks. I know none of you have, but I've been ahead of God a few times. I should have listened and waited, because God speaks. God will speak into your situation. Sometimes he says yes, and sometimes he says wait a while, and he has the right to say no, but let him speak. And if you don't have peace about making a decision, don't make it. Amen or oh me? We okay? Stand with me.